It is. It's great to have the group from Arkansas here. It's always good to see the Redding family. Good to see the Walker family with us here today. Their family has doubled since they were last with us, so it's great to see you guys today, and hope you come back there. They stopped on their way back from the beach. They almost made it home, but not quite yet, so it's good to have you guys here. You can tell Stephen we clap for y'all since he's not here. Well, this morning we're going to continue our sermon series on the purpose of people in Scripture. We're looking at people in Scripture, and we're asking ourselves, what was their purpose? Why did God choose them? What can we learn about what God said about them or about what they did? What can we learn about them as we read them living out their purpose? So far, we've talked about Noah. We talked a couple weeks ago about Deborah. And today we're going to talk about a man that Charlie is going to introduce for us. So Charlie, come on up here.
Today we will be learning about Joseph, obviously. Joseph was a boy who was favored by his mother and father. His parents gave him a coat of many colors. His brothers were jealous and sold him into slavery. He was falsely accused by the people of whom he was sold to and went to prison. While there, he interpreted dreams. Pharaoh heard this and sought his help. With God's help, he found out there would be a famine. Joseph was put in charge and was able to save thousands of lives, including his own family. He forgave his brothers for what they did to him. He said, "What they intended for bad, God made good."
Good job, Charlie. Very good. So the story of Joseph shows us that we're not called by God to be successful the way the world looks at success. We're called by God to be faithful. You know, worldly success depends on money. It depends on fame or living a smooth, comfortable life by worldly standards. But success in God's eyes is staying true to God, remaining faithful to God, no matter what's going on in our lives. That is what we see God rewarding. God has a plan for every one of us. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe God has a purpose for you in your life today? We believe that, don't we? He certainly does. Are you struggling? Are you going through some trial right now? Are you dealing with a bad situation? Are you questioning in your own mind whether God even cares about what you're dealing with? Do you ever feel like he's far away as you struggle? If you're struggling today, and many of us here are struggling today, if you're struggling, remember that as a child of God, God is always molding you. He's always working on you, if you let him. We read in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us." If you're struggling today, let God mold you. That's what we see him doing with Joseph. Joseph went through some pretty bad stuff, didn't he? As Charlie talked about. But God had a purpose for Joseph. And he has a purpose for us as well. Joseph was a boy who was loved by his father very much. And his other brothers were jealous of him. In fact, they decided they were going to kill him. They were so jealous. But then they thought about it for a moment. And they thought, well, maybe we don't want his blood on our hands. And maybe we can still get rid of him and make a profit. In Genesis 37, verses 26 through 28, Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our own brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. So Joseph's brothers make up this story that a ferocious animal came and killed Joseph. He's sold by the Midianites to Potiphar, who's one of Pharaoh's officials. But while in the house of Potiphar, Joseph has a very important job. He's put in charge of all the affairs of Potiphar. He's learning management skills. He's learning how to deal with things. And he's trusted completely by Potiphar. Until one day, Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. She makes a pass at him. Joseph tells her no. And it makes her mad. So she makes up a story that he actually tried to seduce her, and she tells Potiphar about this. In Genesis 39, 19 through 20, when his master heard the story of his wife, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Man, that's a bad day for a guy who's already gone through a whole lot. Here he is, a boy, sold into slavery. Things are going okay for a while because he's placed in a pretty good situation, but he's still a slave, still a servant. But now, through no fault of his own, he's accused of something he didn't do. He's put in prison, the place where the king's prisoners are confined. I don't know about you, but for me, it would be hard to think anything but all hope is lost, right? Put yourself in Joseph's shoes or sandals. All hope would surely be lost. But God had not forgotten about Joseph. Scripture tells us that. And if you're in a situation today where you feel like all hope is lost in your life, God hasn't forgotten about you either. Genesis 39, beginning at verse 20. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So while he's in prison, he has some authority. To make a long story short, Joseph gets the ability or has the ability to interpret dreams. He's able to do that. And he interprets a dream for both Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker, who are both thrown in prison because they had a conflict with Pharaoh. And Joseph says, if my interpretations are true, if everything goes well, come back and get me, right? Genesis 40, 14 through 15. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. Well, everything turned out well for the cupbearer, but he did not remember Joseph. For two more years, Joseph remained in that dungeon until Pharaoh has some dreams he can't interpret. And when the cupbearer hears this, he says, oh, you know what? Down in the dungeon is this boy who interpreted my dreams. You ought to go talk to him. So Pharaoh tells Joseph the dreams he has. And Joseph says, God will give you the answer you need. Pharaoh says that he saw seven fat cows come up out of the Nile. And behind them, there were seven scrawny cows coming up out of the Nile. And the scrawny cows ate the fat cows, but they remained scrawny. And then he says there, he saw seven heads of wheat, grains of wheat on a stalk, growing full and beautiful. And then he saw seven heads of grain sprout up, and they were withered and scorched. And the withered and the scorched heads ate up those heads that were beautiful and full. And with God's guidance, Joseph is able to interpret the dream. Genesis 41, beginning at verse 25, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man, and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country, to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." Wow! How things have changed. How things have turned around for Joseph. He'd had a rough life. He'd been sold by his brothers. He faced challenges, dangers, false accusations, struggles, none that were his fault. But now things were turning around. Joseph was seeing his purpose. This story reminds us that as God's people, we have a purpose to always be looking to the future. Joseph was being prepared for this moment his entire life. At age 30, he could have never handled this task God had for him if he hadn't gone through these things he just experienced. It started in Potiphar's house, where he was managing Potiphar's affairs, being in charge, showing he could be trusted. When he went to prison, he was eventually made responsible for all the prisoners. He was managing important things everywhere he went. And 13 years later, he's put in charge of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Through all this, God's plan was right on schedule for Joseph. He was preparing Joseph all this time for this task he had for him to accomplish. Joseph passed each test. He learned from the experiences he got, and he performed his duties faithfully, even when it might be easy to say all hope was lost. This morning, maybe you're in a less than ideal situation. Maybe you're in a downright bad situation. Maybe you're struggling with big, bad problems. Maybe you feel like you're locked away in a prison. Look at Genesis 39, verses 20 through 21. "But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden." Put your name and your struggle in that scripture. "But while Matt was there in prison, the Lord was with him in his struggle." Breathe a sigh of relief if you're a child of God today. No matter what you're facing, God is with you. He has not left you. If he seems far away, it's not because he has gone somewhere. He's right there. Remember that. Whatever you're feeling, the struggle you're facing today, God is with you. Do we believe that? Do our lives show that we believe that? Maybe you've been falsely accused of something yourself. Maybe in your family or at your job or maybe even in the church. Maybe you're going through a situation that you didn't cause, but you're dealing with the consequences. A lesson we learned from Joseph is to look to the future rather than being bitter and giving up. Stop and ask God, "God, what are you preparing me for?" God has a purpose for each of us here today. What situation are you facing today that's preparing you for the future? Maybe you're dealing with an illness in your family today that you'll be able to help someone else when their family goes through that illness. Maybe as a parent, you're dealing with a struggle with your children today that's going to help you help another parent later down the road. What practice and experience is God giving you right now for a task he has laid out for you in the future? That's what he was doing with Joseph. And all the while, God was with Joseph. God looks ahead for his children. So rather than giving up, dig in, learn from the experience, and use it to serve God and give him glory. You know, the video we watched at the beginning of the service this morning was "Even If" by Mercy Me. I love this song. And one of the lines of that song says, "I know you're able, and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone." Don't you suppose Joseph must have been singing something similar to that, or had something like that in his mind and in his heart as he laid in that dungeon for something he didn't do? "God, I know you can get me out of here, but even if you don't, my hope's in you." You know, God looks ahead and plans the path, prepares the path for his children. And something that's comforting, we have a lot of anxiety about the future, don't we? We have a lot of anxiety about where we'll be 5, 10, 15 years, maybe 2 weeks from now. Maybe we don't know how our job's going to turn out, or health situations, or situations with other people. You know, God already knows your future. In fact, he's already there. Let that sink in for a moment. He's already there. And he wants you to live your faith and live your purpose. You know, when the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph had opened the storehouses for the food that was kept back and managed, and he sold grain to the Egyptians. And Joseph's father hears that there's food available in Egypt, and he sends his sons out to buy some so they can survive. Joseph's brothers end up face to face with Joseph when they go buy this grain, but they have no idea who he is. But he knows who they are. There's a whole lot that takes place between Joseph and his brothers in Genesis 42, 43, and 44. Read that later when you have time. But his brothers still don't know who he is. As far as they're concerned, Joseph is probably not even on their minds. They took care of him a long time ago. He was probably sold in slavery or maybe even dead as far as they knew. But eventually, Joseph had to reveal himself. Genesis 45, beginning at verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified of his presence. Thank you for them, what you need feeling right now. But then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Joseph is kind to his brothers. His father is joyful to know he's still alive, and eventually Joseph gets Pharaoh's blessing to move his brothers and his father and their families to the land of Goshen, which is a fertile land, the best land available. The story of Joseph reminds us that we have a purpose to look to the future. God has a plan for each of us. But it also shows us we have a purpose as God's people to trust God for our good. That's easy to say. It's even easy to talk about. But from my experience, it's not always so easy to live. We have a purpose as God's people to trust God for our good, regardless of what's going on. Because God can turn situations that are bad for good. He promises us, Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So when Joseph's father dies, his brothers are scared. Now that dad's out of the picture, surely he's going to come and take his revenge on us. Genesis 50, beginning at verse 15. "When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?' So they sent word to Joseph and said, 'Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you're to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father.' When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. 'We are your slaves,' they said. But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children.' And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them." What his brothers intended for harm, God intended for good, to save the lives of many, even his own family. That's faith, church. That is trusting in God. That's a lesson we can learn in trust. Rather than saying, "Woe is me, look what you did to me. You cost me my childhood, my teen years, my 20s. Look at all this stuff you put me through." Joseph has his focus on God and God's will and God's plan, and he looks for the good that God has accomplished through all his struggles. Even when the cupbearer forgot him, remember that? For 2 years, he remained in that dungeon simply because the cupbearer didn't hold up his end of the bargain. But Joseph is able to approach it with optimism because he knows God is a God who's faithful. God is a God who can be trusted. We say it all the time, God is good all the time and all the time. Let's try that again. And all the time. That's a little better. Okay. We sing it. God is good. He's so good to me. Do we know it in our times of struggle? In your struggle this morning, what good does God have planned? Is God using this to destroy your mistakes? Is he wiping the slate clean? Is he using your circumstances to freshen your perspective, to give you a new outlook? What man may mean for harm, God can make good. Your God finds life in death. He provides peace in chaos. He gives safety in danger. God brought eternal life from a crucifixion. Look for the goodness God has planned in your struggles. Doesn't mean it won't be painful. Doesn't mean we won't doubt. It doesn't mean we won't struggle. But God promises he will never leave us. He will never turn his back on us. He wants us to live our purpose. So we have a purpose to trust God for our good. But we also have a purpose to remember that as Christians, we've been forgiven. Do you ever struggle with the fact of whether or not you've actually been forgiven? Do you doubt that maybe God has forgiven you? You know, sometimes in these human brains, we doubt. We doubt God. Sometimes we maybe even doubt forgiveness. The story of Joseph shows us some people who doubted whether they'd been forgiven. You know, Joseph's brothers had been living in this fertile farmland for 17 years, and for 17 years they'd been living under Joseph's protection in the shadow of the palace. For 17 years, they were just down the road from Joseph, and he could have taken his revenge on them at any time, but he didn't. Because 17 years earlier, Joseph told his brothers he'd forgiven them. Do not be, Genesis 45, verse 5, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save the lives of many that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land. For the next 5 years, there'll be no plowing and reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives from a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of Egypt. Joseph had forgiven them, but they hadn't forgiven themselves. Have you ever felt like that? You know, God promises us as his children, when we repent, he forgives. We are covered by the blood of Jesus that Will said earlier, right? Do we believe it? Don't be like Joseph's brothers and doubt whether you've been forgiven. Satan wants us to do that. Satan wants us to hold on to our past. He wants us to doubt whether we've been forgiven. But God sent Jesus so that we could be forgiven. Don't believe Satan's lies. Trust God's word. God forgives us when we repent. And the blood of Christ washes us continually. Told this story before. But there's a lawyer who had been studying the Bible, and he'd become a Christian. And he was just amazed that he could be forgiven for what he'd done. Some lawyers do some bad things, right? Hey, man, I heard that. But he was amazed that he could actually be forgiven for his sins. So he decided that he was going to cancel the debt of all his clients who'd owed him money for the last year. So he sat down and he wrote a letter. And he explained to his clients that he was canceling their debts. And he was doing this because he'd now learned something as a new Christian. And he explained the biblical basis of forgiveness and the reason behind his decision. He sent 17 letters out by certified mail. 16 of the 17 letters came back unsigned, undelivered, unopened. Why? Well, the clients were afraid he was suing them, so they wouldn't sign for the letter. So the letters came back. In their fear, they ended up running away from his forgiveness. You know, Joseph's brothers couldn't believe that they'd really been forgiven. When their father dies, they're just sure Joseph's coming back and he's going to get revenge. The lawyer blessed his clients by forgiving their debts. But most of them never knew it because they never opened that letter. If you're a Christian today, you're forgiven. Christ's blood washes you. When talking about the unrighteous, Paul tells us that is what we used to be. But now, thanks to God because of Jesus, things are different. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You're washed in the blood that continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If you're not a Christian today, don't keep running away from God's forgiveness. Run to Him. Accept his son. Put him on in baptism. Open that debt-canceling letter. Come and confess Jesus as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Be buried with him in baptism, where your sins are washed away, where you come up out of that water a new person, the old person dead, the new person raised to life with God's Spirit dwelling in you, being forgiven, washed, where you can walk in the light and walk with God. Listening to his Spirit, letting it lead you, and claim your eternal life. If you've not made that step today, I don't know what you're waiting for. God wants you to come. Come and have your life changed. Not just now. Yeah, things get better for the Christian here on earth. They're hard too. We struggle. But we have God with us. His Spirit dwells in us. But when this life is over, and it will be one day for all of us, I can guarantee you that. You have an eternal life with God. A mansion over the hilltop, I said. If you've taken that step, but you've fallen away, come back. We'll pray with you, support you, do anything we can. That's what a family does. We're here for each other, to help each other through this life, and to constantly remind each other of God's promises. God is a faithful God. God is a God to be trusted, and he's a God who will take care of us. If you have any this morning, we ask you.